You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I am sitting down with Sebastian Shugg. Now, Sebastian is in the publishing world, and he is actually an independent American author. He is also an illustrator, publisher, and novelist, and he currently resides in Burbank, California. Now, in just having a few minutes to chat with Sebastian, I think for everyone listening today, we're going to see so much benefit from listening to the world of failure and really, really getting comfortable with how that helps you develop yourself when you're first getting started. So I'm so excited to dive in with you today, Sebastian. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you became an author, an illustrator, a narrator. Like, how did this all happen for you?
It definitely didn't start off that way. And this is truly a testament to, you know, opportunities can lead you in directions you never thought possible. So I first professionally started off as an illustrator. And I illustrated a small children's book that grew rapidly in size from 1 to 5 to 30. And in that time spent learning about the ins and outs of bookmaking in general, I thought, well, I've illustrated some books. I could tell my own story here and there. So that's what I did. And I started exploring different genres that were way out of the realm of what I was doing currently. I started having fun with it. And I started making little tweaks here and there on how to actually put together a book. And you mentioned failure. There was a lot of that in the beginning, because when you're young, and 17 was when I started writing, there's tons of options in your face when you look up on how to do something, right? Yeah. But being young and 17, you have no idea of what that costs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have enough to go to one of those vanity publishers, which I'll get into later. But at that time, I realized that if I wanted to do something like this, and I wasn't about to go knocking at any big wig's door to sell, and not only sell, but publish my book, get it out there in the spotlight, I was going to do this myself. Okay. In the beginning, it took only my books to really make a name for myself. That's when other people started contacting me to publish their manuscripts. And today, here we sit, over 100 plus books, half of them which come from other people. And well, now here I am.
So in terms of looking at, you know, before you got into this whole world of illustrating and all these things, what did you do in school? Like, is this something that you had like been setting up for that you wanted to do?
Ideally, no. Mm-hmm. I was originally going to school to become an animator. And mm-hmm. after taking one animation class, I quickly changed my opinion, not because I don't love animating. Mm-hmm. It was just due to the rigorous schedule of it all. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak for all animation studios on how they manage their employees. But when it came down to it, writing stories, character design, and telling them verbally, like in narration form, it quickly became my passion. And I didn't even realize it. So mm-hmm. it was just a matter of keeping those doors open.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so in terms of, you know, I know you got a start pretty, like really young, like you knew what you wanted to do, it looks like. So in terms of following that path, and I want to dig into failure, because I think that there's a lot of times that we expect things are going to be like the dots are just going to connect so easily.
Right.
And so when we do face a little bit of that pushback, like give you an example here, I went to school for English literature and women's studies. And I think one thing I thought about writing was that because there weren't any obvious options for me at that time of like, I'm going to go, I didn't even really know what I was going to do with my degree. I thought, well, maybe I could keep going in the direction of teaching. It just didn't seem really obvious where it would lead me. And so I sort of put it on the back burner and thought, okay, well, one thing I know I love is fitness. So, and there are jobs right now in fitness. So I lived in a really small town. So I sort of went with fitness and put English literature on the back burner and thought, well, I like to write, but I think a little bit of, you know, when you go to school for something, sometimes it can be also a bit challenging because you're told there's a right way and there's a wrong way in some cases, depending on, you know, the school and the people that you're surrounded by. So I found that a little bit challenging to really, truly be creative without feeling like there were sort of like some restrictions on what was right or, you know, right or wrong.
Right.
And then I picked it up probably 10 or 15 years later, which has become a major part of how I help people in creating content. So let's talk a little bit about that quote unquote failure. And how did that sort of interact in your story when you were first getting started?
Failure came to me in a lot of different ways, predominantly through the people who I was most close to. Now, when they would look at my manuscript of something that, let's just say, I first wrote, and what I first wrote to put out there after my children's series, or should I say during, because it still wasn't over at this point, was a novel that was very much young adult. Or young adult oriented, had topics that, you know, really weren't made for kids, but to a 17-year-old, it seemed interesting. It was a lot of existentialism, and I'm sure it sounded pretentious at the time. But my closest friends came to me and said, Sebastian, you can't publish this. Okay, it's very gritty. It's not what you usually do. Mm-hmm. And not only that, no one's going to read it. Two out of the three, they were right. Because, yes, no one was going to read it at the time, back in 2016. You know, who the heck was I? And, you know, maybe at the time, I didn't have the means to publish it. Thing is, I figured it out. And I realized that through social selling and through, I want to say, B2B marketplaces, such as Amazon, among others, I realized that I did have a platform right there sitting in front of me. It was just at the cost of maybe some royalty percentages and a lack of an audience, because at that time, 4 years ago, I didn't have one. It's really easy, and I would say the failure comes in through this perspective. It's really easy to just sit there with your book up on the marketplace and see, wow, absolutely no sales are coming in. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting much, and one of my sort of life mottos is to really suspend your expectations in anything you do, then you'll be surprised with everything. Mm-hmm. Though, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little hard to see the data right there that nobody was caring what I had to say in terms of a story. Would I say that I'm now at the top of my game and am now, you know, the grand vizier of publishers that I thought I could be at that young of an age? No, of course not. But I will say that I am making more sales and that I am meeting new people and learning from what worked and what didn't in terms of how I write, what I write about, and especially the mediums of which I wrote about. Because I thought that there's a lot of ways that people can read a book, okay? And I wasn't tapping into that 4 years ago. I was thinking if I just got my words on a page, sent it out there, it would work. I didn't understand at the time that building an audience meant reaching new people of reading capabilities, such as audiobooks, for example. Some people just don't want to sit down and read a book. That's fine. What if I tell it to them? Mm-hmm. It was more so adapting to the environment that made the failures less current, but still there nonetheless. You know, it still happens. And I've learned to grow with them and I've learned to take them as they come. I actually sort of look forward to them because it's something new that I can learn afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, this idea that you sort of go through as an entrepreneur, as a creator, as someone trying to build a business, I think, you know, what you're speaking to with this idea of you set out thinking you know the path, at least you have this idea of where you want to go. And I think one thing I've noticed in any business venture that I've taken on is things in the past for me that weren't successful, I wasn't really attached to the purpose behind it. Like that was always like one thing that comes up for me is I was lacking that. And then when I finally really connected with my purpose and how I wanted to help people, it was like I was going to do it despite the results.
Oh, yeah.
It just became not a part of what was driving me anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was like I love how you said you know, your motto is suspend your expectations. Because I think for me at that point, anytime someone would comment positively about something that I was doing, I held on to that so tightly because I was just like, what? Like someone appreciates actually what I'm passionate about, and everything else above that that comes is just magic. Like that was sort of a shift that I found really happened, and my motivation became not tied to really the end result at all. It was more that wave and that feeling that came with every person saying like, you've really helped me, or this really made an impact with me. So was that something that you found as you became more and more, you know, entrenched in your work and realizing what you were passionate about?
When I started to gain traction, admittedly, yes. It's very easy for someone at that age to, well, me when I started at that age, to take those that positive feedback and really just roll with it. The problem is with that is that it also becomes very dangerous in establishing your artistic psyche, because then you start to wonder if you're creating something solely for the benefit of what positive reinforcement does. Mm-hmm. And that can be dangerous because then you're at the expectations of other people of what they might want to read. And what mm-hmm. they might want to read may not correspond with what you may want to write about. So what I quickly learned in that was whenever I published a piece, and there have been pieces of mine that have garnered not the best results, but they are still up there for purchase, is that you really just have to take the good with the bad. Now, for every negative review of a book that I happen to make, there is more that I can mine from that as opposed to what a rating is or what their words mean. You know, I look at that and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take this book down. And it's not me admitting failure if I don't do that. It's just a matter of where can I go from here and what can I learn from this? So relying on other people to, I don't want to say fill that void of what makes an artist, you know, it's not that it isn't important, because obviously some of the best constructive criticism can come from that. Mm-hmm. And the compliments are definitely nice, but I don't think that one should solely depend on that reinforcement relationship of artist and audience.
No, I think it's an interesting, what I'm thinking about in my head here as we're talking about this is, you know, that social seller, that entrepreneur that is starting to like release content, they're creating their posts that they're putting out there, they're starting to tell their story. And there's this interesting and delicate balance between when you first get started and what you're putting out there, and just really paying attention to what people are responding to and what they're not. Because it's almost like this little degree of pivot that you're continuously making to make sure that you're aligning with your ideal customers. But the alignment has to come from within first. Definitely. It doesn't start from what does my readership or what do my followers want, and then I'm going to cater my message around it. I think it more so is like it starts from the heart. You put it out there and then you start just watching what people are attaching to and what you're getting, you know, like the feedback from, so that you just know, oh, like people appreciate when I talk about, you know, these sort of subjects. But there is this dance and maybe this point in one's career, I think, where all of a sudden this relationship, it changes a bit. Like your confidence level gets to a certain point that your motivations are no longer driven just from that place of, I'm going to put out there what people want to hear. It becomes more of I want to call it like a responsibility to be like in the social selling world, at least like to be honest and to really be able to, you know, like not just tell people what they want to hear, but it comes from almost a different place, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And I'm not saying to not experiment. Definitely do for that. Sure. And see what works and what doesn't. And if what doesn't work doesn't garner the results that you want, you know, don't stop doing it. Maybe tweak it a little bit. When it comes down to publishing, people are very specific about what genres they like, specifically in my field. So if a certain genre doesn't get the results that you want, doesn't mean you have to stop writing it. You know, you can experiment with others. And I've done this with my literature, and it has helped that other people, when they send their manuscripts in, they often have different genres stapled to it because of their own backgrounds and their own writing styles. So I'd hate to say something cliche, like keep throwing things at the wall until something sticks. Yeah. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said that that wasn't the case most of the time.
Yeah, it's like a constant experiment. That's sort of the thing, I think, when it comes to writing. You're constantly, you know, I think as a writer, as an artist, as a content creator, you're constantly going back and forth between your own, you know, creative energy that you have, because that obviously like changes with, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, like that can change day to day, week to week, month to month, like where the creativity is coming from. You know, like it can be all different areas, and I can be motivated for, you know, a week and then not for, you know, like the creativity block just may appear. So sometimes it's like this very interesting relationship between where that creativity is coming from and then negotiating how you're putting it out there with your audience. But like, I know, at least I'm sure it's the exact same when it comes to publishing. Like when it comes to social media, you can, your headline that you're putting out there, maybe it's not even grabbing people, but it's not that the work itself that you've put into that post or that book or whatever it may be isn't right. It's like one small thing can be like a title for a book, let's say, can be throwing the whole thing off. And that's where the testing and the being comfortable with, you know, you even using the word failure doesn't feel right. It's like, it's just like, it's this testing process that is happening over and over and over again.
No, right. Definitely. And you always want to put your best foot forward when you advertise a product, in this case, advertising a book. You know, you want something that'll really grab them. And the discouragement of people not interacting with your post is, you know, of course going to be there, but you know, it's not that your product is bad. It's just that, you know, perhaps that the pitch is a little off, and that's something that can be easily tweaked.
Yeah. And so how would you recommend, because I'm sure that you not only went through, you know, your own career, like dealing with this, right? Like that I'm sure is on the forefront when you're an author and you're a writer, because obviously that bit of writing really needs to grab them so that they'll continue reading. But obviously there's that point of, you know, like call it the ego or whatever it may be that you're, you know, you're trying to be authentic, but you're also trying to make sure that you grab the attention of the reader. So how do you think that, you know, as someone that is creating content, creating books, whatever it may be, how do you negotiate that relationship of, you know, of putting stuff out there, you're doing the testing, you're trying to make sure that it's not shaking your confidence. Like, is there a way that you recommend people, you know, deal with that sort of, I'm going to say failure, but I, you know, like just that, using that
ego,
word
that ego trip.
Yeah, kinda. That back and forth that sort of happens. Yeah.
It's very difficult to do. And, you know, I sound like a broken record here, but when you are surrounded by individuals, and I'm just painting the scene of my high school, which is when I started. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to think that you're not the biggest man on campus when everyone that surrounds you point blank has not published a book and you have. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are countless ego checks that I've done over the years. And really, it wasn't even a matter of, hey, this is what I've made from, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. It was the fact that here's my book that I published and you haven't published this book. Okay. Mm-hmm. That, of course, is very distasteful for other people if you approach it with almost always the wrong attitude of, look what I did that you couldn't do. Mm-hmm. My advice to that is sit down, take a breather, say, look, yes, you should be very proud that you happen to make this from scratch. However, is this going to win you the most ostentatious literary award that the world has ever seen? Most likely not. And it's not to degrade yourself when you say this. It's just a matter of putting you in your place of, you still have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to get there? You're not going to get there by acting all pretentious and whatnot. You're going to get there from seeing what works and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And more so, seeing the proof in the pudding, how many people actually are willing to buy your book and make that sale. So to me personally, it came difficultly in the beginning, but over time, it's become a lot easier of just ego checking myself, not comparing myself to other people, not letting other people compare themselves to me if they happen to say something like, oh, well, I've never done what you're doing. You shouldn't feel bad about it. And I know that they mean well when they say this, but really, not to encompass yourself in your own bubble. But if you can encompass yourself in your own bubble that is beneficial to you and your own well-being, I don't personally see a problem with that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because one's worst critic is oneself, right? But one's best attitude checker is also oneself as well. I don't think a lot of people really kind of realize that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because as an author, you're not only creating the product, you have to sell it as well. And it's very easy to think that what you've made is so great that it's going to sell millions. And it flat out doesn't. So not only are you the artist, but you're also the marketer.
Yes.
And one could easily crash and burn to the ground if one doesn't have the right attitude to it.
It is interesting because I think sometimes the ego can get in the way of, you know, I've put this out here. Let's say you're, you know, whatever content you're creating, why aren't people loving it and engaging with it? Like,
right.
But it's this, we always used to say that, you know, your customer really does sign your paycheck. So the more that you understand your ideal customer, the more that you can dig into that and connect with them. And I think there's a really, where I found sort of a sweet spot is the more that I understood the people I was talking to, the more that I was surveying them and just like really trying to understand on a deep level what they were really struggling with and what they wanted, I could still weave in my, you know, authentic voice around that, but focusing on the things they wanted to focus on. And still all at the same time, knowing everything I put out there is a test to see what they really want to talk about. It's not a guarantee, but being really comfortable with that relationship, mm-hmm. because so many people can, they just rise and fall with that if they're not getting, you know, whatever it may be, the sales, the readership, the engagement, it can crush them. And I think that that's one of the most important aspects of being an entrepreneur, especially in the social selling industry. You have to let go of that
right.
end result.
Right. Yeah, exactly like you said, let your failures be failures. But more importantly, if you want to put it in layman's terms, let your early work be terrible. For as much time as someone can learn a topic, go to an art school, spend 4 years, spend all this money on, you know, the proper equipment, applications, programs. And I would also say that the sort of self-help sphere kind of feeds into that of, you know, you can do it. So give or take 10% in that area. For as much time, money, and effort you spent on all this combined, you could have wrote an entire series by now. It will never be your best work because it's your first work, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess my one kind of advice, takeaway, whatnot, mm-hmm. is the only way to write better or to publish better, I would say, generally, is to read books and write books. You know, with any artistic craft, there really is no other way. Okay, the stuff that you learn in the interim is very helpful, obviously, but one's own personal connection to the medium is what's most important, and you'll never have that without any hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So, Sebastian, where is the best place for people to follow you and find you and to learn more about what you do?
So I kind of chuckle there because it's actually very general. So you can find me, simply put, by looking on Google, Sebastian Shug. There you'll find a plethora of my projects, past and current, as well as various types of mediums that I've worked in, such as ebook, print, narration, other podcast episodes. But if you're looking for social media, you can find me on both Instagram as well as Twitter under the handle at Dr. Sebby. That's at DrSebby. It was a high school username, and I've since yet to change it. It's just stuck with me. So, yeah, there you'll find updates on, again, like I said, past and current projects. Listeners can also send me their manuscripts. Actually, like you said earlier, I own an independent publishing company based in Burbank, California. That's under the handle of Sebastian Shug Publishing, and it could be found through both email and phone.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and just the golden nuggets around what it really takes to, you know, to transcend that, you know, being an artist, putting yourself out there and what it really looks like, really sharing some, you know, authentic truths with our listeners today. Thank you so much, Sebastian, for being here on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you're ready to turn your Beachbody dream into a Beachbody business, I have something special for you. Business Bootcamp for Fitness Coaches will help you overcome the overwhelm of never knowing what to post so you can show up consistently on social, get off the icky hey girl hamster wheel, and finally see more engagement from customers who enthusiastically slide into your DMs to join you. This Facebook group is totally free to join. Head to ashleyshaw.ca/bootcamp to sign up now. And just for joining, you'll get 5 totally templated social media posts that work, accountability and camaraderie in our private Facebook group, and that post-workout feeling of accomplishment. See you there. Again, you can head to ashleyshaw.ca/bootcamp to sign up now.